Thank you so much that we can gather here tonight on this special evening, Lord, that we can rejoice in your gift that you came to earth as an infant in order to grow up and pay the sacrifice for our sin. Lord, we thank you so much that we can be here this evening together to sing your praises and to give thanks and rejoice together as we celebrate what that means for us. So be with us as we continue in this service and bless us as we worship together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Joyous Night by Mary B. Wilson. Tender the night, radiant the light that shines over the stable he bare. Adoring the wise, loving the eyes that gaze on the child so fair. Jubilant the song of the angel throng that through the heaven rings. Joyous the earth at the humble birth of the promised Savior and King.
Now you can stand as we join in the carol, The First Noel.
Advent candle reading. Now we light the Christ candle as we remember. Our light came out of darkness, no light, no hope had we, till Jesus came from heaven, our night and hope to be. Jesus is our Messiah, Emmanuel, man of sorrows, Prince of Peace. He is the light of the world. In him we find all our hope, peace, joy, and love. Christ is born, and his birth has changed history and our lives. We rejoice because Jesus is with us. He is our light. Now we light the Christ candle as we all say, Alleluia, our Messiah has come.
Verses 8 through 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
Thank you, Dawn and Ann and Gail, for sharing with us in our service tonight. It's such a precious time for us all to be together here on Christmas Eve, and the weather just seems to add to it, doesn't it? It's a great evening to be together, and you just sense in the quietness what must have been this sort of atmosphere centuries ago when all of this was beginning. And I often think, you know, the angels kind of held their breath as everything sort of unfolded. What a great, great gesture on behalf of the eternal God to solve and address the problem that we all have, the challenge of living this life. And so he sent his son, and that's the way you learn, isn't it? You know, when you see somebody doing it instead of having directions as to how life should go, all we have to do is look at the Son and see how he lived his life and listen to his teachings as well. But I always think that it's just great to see how Jesus walked, reading the Gospels. And as a preacher, I always found it's great to preach from all the Bible, Old Testament to Paul's letters. But boy, it's sure good and easy to preach about Jesus. He's just he just allows you to just tell the story, and really he teaches the stories. What happens when you open him to a congregation? Well, it's been a very close call the last few years. There's been, I think, an attempt to eliminate Merry Christmas from our greeting choices, and I understand the reason for that. We live in a country that's very multicultural, and it's just been an attempt for us to eliminate any kind of awkwardness that might come up when we say Merry Christmas to other people, and they're not Christians, they're from another culture, another country, perhaps. And I think it's just the idea was that we're just trying to be kind and accommodating to these folks. The attempt to kind of eliminate Merry Christmas from our vocabulary is also based on an assumption from another era. I was born in about the middle of that last century, and even I can remember the fact that predominantly we were a Christian society is what we were, and a lot of folks embrace the Christian way to some degree or another. So it's very natural for us to say Merry Christmas because everybody else sort of said it too. But this Christmas has really been different, and I wasn't expecting this because, you know, the Happy Holidays thing, which is the thing we've been encouraged to say, I've heard that periodically through the years. But this Christmas has been different. And now this is not a scientific survey. I'm not related to any of the survey people, but based on my informal poll, there have been many, many more Merry Christmases than there have been Happy Holidays. In fact, I can count the Happy Holidays on one hand. I think there have been two, but everybody else seems to be saying Merry Christmas. And I'm not prompting this. You think as a preacher we would do that kind of thing. We would try to draw this out of people in the hopes that if they say Merry Christmas enough times, maybe something will happen in their lives and it'll change them. But this has been totally unsolicited by myself. It's been amazing to hear it, and I think this has been in my thoughts throughout the Christmas season. Why is this happening so much? What's going on here that we seem to be maybe just switching back to that greeting that was so prevalent many years ago? And I'm not an anachronistic type of guy going back to all those things. People have accused me of being a bit of a Luddite or antediluvian. I do like history a lot, but I did nothing to tip the scales on this one, I don't think. But I've done some thinking about it as to why maybe the changes happened. Maybe it's just this year. Maybe it'll continue. I don't know. But I came up with five reasons why Merry Christmas seems to be making a bit of a comeback. When someone says Merry Christmas to me, what can you assume if somebody says that to you? And my thought about all of that is when someone says Merry Christmas, you can assume that they're somewhat of an active celebrant, which means they practice Christmas. They are involved with it. They have family over. They maybe have a Christmas tree. They buy presents, which through the years we've gotten into the materialism thing, bashing Christmas because of the materialistic part of it. But I've always thought, you know, if there's any time of the year that's appropriate for us to give gifts, it's probably at Christmas time. Because we're celebrating, if the story is true, we're celebrating God's greatest gift. And I would sense that if you're here tonight, you're celebrating it heartily as well. Because the presence of Jesus in your life has just meant everything to you. And so for us to give a gift to somebody else, we don't give enough gifts to the folks who are precious to us. We need these excuses to be able to share with them. So if somebody says it to you, you can assume that they've probably gone through all of the efforts that it takes to practice Christmas. And so we can assume the same thing. When we have friends who celebrate Hanukkah, friends who are involved in Ramadan, we should be able to celebrate or to wish them the very same thing when it comes to be their turn. Now, let me inform you that this is very Baptist. And this is a Baptist church, last time I checked, and I'm a Baptist minister, Baptist preacher. And that's not to be exclusive at all. We're part of a big family that includes Anglicans and Roman Catholics and United Church and Methodists and Seventh-day Adventists and all kinds of different people. But each of us has a family. And we have a family called Baptists. And from the very beginning, which wasn't really that long ago, early 17th century, late 16th century, so the 1590s to around 1600 is when we all began. And the reason we began, the primary reason was the whole idea of infant baptism. We didn't believe in it. We thought that baptism was most appropriate for people who, you know, can understand what they're doing. And so that's how the Baptist Church and the Congregational Church and the Mennonite Church, that's how all those churches kind of started. But there's another thing we believed in. It's not just baptism. It's something we call freedom of worship. Because when we first started thinking about these things, started thinking about, you know, baptism isn't really appropriate for a little baby. You know, you're just trying to baptize them in case that they die and go to the wrong place. Well, we don't believe that anyway. Little babies can't go to hell. Now, grumpy grown-ups can, maybe. You know, people who refuse to see the truth can, maybe. People who embrace evil can. There will be justice. Brothers and sisters, there will be justice someday. And so, but it's not for the little children. I mean, that, you know, that was part of it. But the most important thing about our early Baptist thinkers was that we were not afforded the opportunity to discuss our new thoughts about baptism. And it was the Anglicans. Now, we've kissed and made up by now, so we're okay with them. But it was our Anglican brothers and sisters in England that became very concerned about these meetings we were having. And so a few of us got into trouble, and some of us were thrown in jail, and even some of us were executed because of our early beliefs. And so freedom of worship ought to be very important to us Baptists. And so if we have a Jewish brother or sister, or a Muslim brother or sister whom we know, we ought to be able to encourage them. Hey, it's this time of year for you. I hope you have a great time. We ought to be able to do that with them too, and yet maintaining our beliefs in Jesus. So that's number one reason. It just makes logical sense, I think, to say Merry Christmas. After all, it is a holiday, but it's Christmas, and that's what we're all about tonight. Reason number two. It's kind of a general blessing that is useful for this time of year. I think that's a good thing to say to everybody. It's a holiday for everyone. And it goes back to the original days when Canada was formed, when the United States was formed. You know, there were a lot of Christians in these two nations. And so we began to celebrate Christmas. And so Merry Christmas became a general blessing that everybody used. And we're thinking today maybe because there are many other faiths, maybe we shouldn't use it, but I'm not sure that's really necessary. It's a general blessing that we use that can be very helpful, I think, in wishing people the best. A couple of things come up. You know, when you say Merry Christmas, what you're basically saying to people is enjoy your friends and family. Because that's one of the things we do at Christmas time. We have friends and we have family in, and we don't have enough time for these people. Not really. You know, our lives are so fast-paced. And thank goodness for Tim Hortons. I mean, it allows us to meet together. You know, it's basically the gathering place in Canadian society. But we don't have enough time for these people. And so to say Merry Christmas to somebody is really saying to them, I hope you have a great time with the people you're gathering with. Because that can be so precious to us. But it's also a time of rest. Everybody gets this holiday off in some way, maybe just a couple days. Some people get a whole week. When I was an active pastor, I'm now retired, back in the day when I was an active pastor, I loved Christmas because people didn't want to see me during the week as I'm normally seen. You know, I arrange visits, I go and drop by the nursing homes and things like that. Well, people are busy, they don't want to see me. So it's great, unless I have somebody in the hospital who's really sick, then I have to go up and see them, of course. But usually during the week between Christmas and New Year's, I go to the office in the morning to work on that message for Sunday morning, and then I was home with my kids. I was goofing off. And I hope that you're able to do the same thing. So to say Merry Christmas to somebody, I think, is part of that encouragement. Enjoy your time off. Exhale a little bit. Put your feet up. Merry Christmas to you. But then there's reason number three. And that, I think, the third reason to re-embrace Merry Christmas is the inadequacy of the greeting Happy Holidays. It's a nice song. I love it when Bing Crosby sang that. But I just don't think it works as well as Merry Christmas. For one thing about it is that it's a little bit long. Merry Christmas, 4 syllables. Happy Holidays, 5. So if you want to really save your strength for the eating display and for being with relatives and friends and all of that stuff, Merry Christmas is a lot better for you to say. But in some ways, Happy Holidays to me is one of these inane, meaningless greetings, a little bit like have a nice day, you know? Have a nice day is really not only all in your court. When you say to somebody, hey, have a nice day, well, it's not all up to me here. It's the people I work with. It's my family. It's the people driving down EC Row. It's all of that stuff. And if I could just wave a magic wand and decide that I was going to have a nice day, it'd be okay. It's same with Happy Holidays. It's not totally within my control for that that to happen. Some people get upset if you tell them to have a nice day. It's like you're forcing this down your throat. I saw this bumper sticker. I really love bumper sticker theology. There's a little bit of it out there. And so I watched the bumper stickers, and one of them a few years ago said, don't tell me what kind of day to have, you know. Couldn't believe it, but I saw it. So what I've been starting to do through the years is that instead of saying, have a nice day, I say, I hope you have a nice day. I really do. And that kind of leaves it open, doesn't it? It allows for all the forces involved in our lives to play out and to swirl around. And I think you're being more honest. But then there's another reason for the inadequacy of Happy Holidays or Have a Nice Day. And that is, I think, that it does not foster engagement with people. It's kind of like saying, how are you? Now, if I'm okay, you're in good shape. But if I answer you, when you ask me, how are you doing? If I say, not so good, then you have a decision to make. You've opened the door. And if you really want to be the person God meant for you to be, which is to engage others, to share in others' lives, to love others, to embrace others, then you've got to put the brakes on your schedule and say, okay, we need to talk about this. Would you like to go into some more detail? I remember a few years ago when our oldest boy, Zach, was very young, and Linda was out at a church meeting, and I was home alone with Zach, and he was young enough that you had to kind of pay attention to this, and I was a new father, and I was sort of just getting the hang of it all, and I got a call from a friend, and I said, he was a little bit upset, and I said, what's going on? And he said, well, I messed up. And I said, listen, I'm with Zach here. I can't talk now, but when Linda gets home, I'll call you. We need to talk. Part of our role as human beings, but even more particularly as followers of Jesus, is to engage others in life, to have our ears open and ready. And so you have to be careful. You say, have a nice day, or how are you doing? We got to be ready to engage. If somebody opens up and drops the veil and kind of opens the door of their heart a little bit, we need to respond as best we can. So Merry Christmas is a little better. It doesn't open you up to have to be almost an amateur counselor on a fairly regular basis. But there's a reason, number four, that I think Merry Christmas is returning. And that's because it is the celebration of a historical phenomenon, a historical occurrence. And it's the celebration of Jesus, but also it's the celebration of the Christian faith. I picked this book title up. It's a book I really intend to purchase and read, but I've got such a big pile of books that I just can't seem to make a dent in. But I want to read this book. It's called The Triumph of Christianity, How a Forbidden Religion Swept the World. When we say Merry Christmas, part of what we're doing is sort of celebrating that wonderful truth. When we think about Christianity and how it began, of course, this is a perfect night for us to think about this, because it really started as a little baby born, and that's how modest the beginnings were. But then you and I both know it grew from there, and Jesus became a powerful preacher and a miracle worker, and then ran afoul of the authorities, died, but was resurrected. But then it was a little slow going after that, because there was great persecution in the Christian church. But then the day came when the tide started to turn and people started to believe, and it's really started to catch on. And through the years, we've had this historical inaccurate statement that seems to indicate that what happened with the Christian faith is that Emperor Constantine became a convert, and that's when things picked up. It was happening a long time before that. When you say Merry Christmas, what you're talking about is this historical development that took place in the world, and how this old faith that they used to call the Way really caught on and became very, very important in life. And it even does that today. A few years ago, I went on a mission trip to Thailand, and we were stationed at a Bible college called Bethel Bible Institute in Chiang Rai. And that Bible college was teaching students to be pastors. But what I found very surprising is they were teaching pastors who would serve in mainland China. And I thought China there was no Christian faith in China at all. But I was surprised to find out that these young men were going back to China to lead churches that were going at that point. In places like China and Russia, the underground church exists. And it's amazing, because they've had 20 centuries to stomp this faith out, but it continues even today. And isn't that a wonderful celebration of hope when we say Merry Christmas? It's amazing that Christmas still exists, that faith still exists, that people are embracing goodness. And so when we say Merry Christmas, that's a wonderful countercultural statement that we're making. It is about Christ's teaching, of course. Even today, 20 centuries after his death, he is still revered as one of the world's great teachers. But it's more than that, because Jesus and his disciples developed quite a ministry, largely due to his abilities to feed and to heal. But isn't that what we do as churches today? Most of our churches have little food banks or big food banks. Some of our churches, including this one, had occasion to have regular weekly or monthly community meals, feeding people, but also healing people, praying for them at all of our prayer meetings, and cooperating with the medical professionals of our day, which the people in these professions are daily performing miracles. We believe in something else, don't we, as followers of Jesus? We believe in God's healing touch in their lives. And we've seen that happen, praying for a person, and all of a sudden they're better. And the medical personnel say, we don't know how this happened. Reason number four. This has been around for a long time, and it's a good thing. You could argue it with people, but I think it's probably true that so many, if not most, of the great humanitarian moves and progress in the 20th century and before have happened because of the church. But here's reason number five to use Merry Christmas, and it's the people in this room, you and I. Because for you, the Christian way, Christmas, is not just historical, but it's deeply personal. You believe in it. It's important in your life. Great quote from the Gospel of John. These are words from Jesus himself. He said, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Free from those terrible thoughts that have haunted you through the years. Free from the guilt that you feel about maybe not coming through the way you'd like. Freedom from problem addictions. Freedom from other things that trouble you. We take those to Jesus. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, the Bible says. And sometimes it happens like that. Most times it takes a little while. But you have sensed the healing power of Jesus in your lives. We've got this great hymn that we sing. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And it's so true for so many. All this because God reached down. Not that we invented something, not that we put our best scholars to work to try to come up with some sort of solution to the world's problems. But once, many centuries ago, God reached down to us. Paul describes it this way, while we were yet sinners, you might say while we didn't like God at all, while we kept our distance from him, Christ died for us. So why shouldn't the shepherds say it? That last verse that Gail read for us. Why shouldn't they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. Do you have an occasion in your life where God spoke to you, where he led you, where he put you in a different situation or frame of mind? Are you thankful for that? Well, if you are, let's say Merry Christmas. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. Oh, Father, this is a magical night, and we're a part of it. Because at one point in our lives, in very different ways, in all kinds of different locations, people in this room sensed your presence in a wonderful way. And their lives have never been the same. And so, Father, we just gather here to give you thanks for what you've done in our lives and what you've done in history. Father, we sense, as always, that there's just that spirit of you, just beneath the surface of all of life. And so, Father, give us new eyes to see and new ears to hear, to know that what we see is not always what's going on, but there's something beneath the surface of life. Father, how we give you thanks for Mary agreeing to be Jesus' mother, for Joseph agreeing to take her in, for all of the people along the way who helped this happen. Father, we pray that you'll grant us the strength and the courage to shine your light wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.